Welcome to the Parenting is Heart Work podcast. I'm Dr. Scott Taranski here with Elena Svetslot from the Netherlands. And together, we're going to talk about parenting. And we love to discuss the many ins and outs facing parents and deal with specific challenges that parents are facing. Today, what we're going to do is look at correction in a little more detail. This is a big area of parenting. I think we correct our children a lot. And there are ways to do that are most effective. So, Elena, welcome. I'm glad you're here to discuss this with me.
Hi, Dr. Scott. Yes, and I'm also very glad and really looking forward to learn some more from you and to share some perhaps new insight with parents. Maybe some things we will mention will be already known, but maybe not so much applied. So it's indeed an excellent time to share into our insights into the book. It's not actually a book. It's actually a series of 13 videos that you have recorded. And we are now running through each of these videos, but it's actually also a book, Dr. Scott, How a Heart-Based Approach to Parenting Changes Everything. Okay. So I knew it. Very good. Very good. So a book, but also accompanying with 13 videos, which are available on parenting of biblicalparenting.org. So that being said, this evening we will, well, my evening, probably your mornings, we will be talking about discipline, and not just any discipline, but discipline that changes the heart and focuses on real change, not just behavioral change that it's perhaps maybe limited and short-lived. So Dr. Scott, why is discipline so instrumental and that you thought it deserves its own place in your book?
Well, we find that there's a challenge that families face regularly in this area of correction, that children often respond poorly to correction. They react, they blame, they lie, they get angry. And so understanding correction a little bit more, and especially understanding a heart-based approach, can really provide parents with tools they want. And I think parents are eager for these ideas. They're looking for practical ideas. Here's what happens, I think. Children are doing the wrong thing in one thing. Maybe it's schoolwork. Maybe it's just being wild at home or being irritating to one of their brothers or sisters. Okay, so now we have a problem. So parents then step in, and the way they step in is important. And so if they come in kind of reacting to that and start yelling at kids, and it creates this negative pattern that starts to build. But even when parents do it right, you know, they come in and they correct the child in a way that's good. Some children just don't handle it well. They just don't know how to respond to correction well. So I think those are the kinds of things you want to talk about. I think there's a lot of good solutions here, but we have to understand the underlying challenges that many children are facing inside their hearts that make it difficult for them to receive correction in their lives.
Yeah, and I think that's very good to actually tap a bit into, because discipline is obviously comes in many forms. And we can think of discipline, and perhaps it would be wise to also share a bit more about the different ways we can discipline. But the underlying reason why discipline is received poorly is because two main feelings that children experience: guilt and shame. And I think that sometimes children experience both of them, or overwhelmingly one of them. And I think it's difficult for them to deal with that. How would you put this in more eloquent way, Dr. Scott?
Well, guilt is a godly emotion that prompts us to deal with a problem. And problems, let's define problems. We can define them wrongs this way. Sometimes they're sin. Sometimes they are mistakes, and mistakes aren't always sin. You make some mistakes on a math problem and you have to have them corrected. Then some children react to that. Other times it's foolishness. That's not recognizing the consequences of current actions. So we correct children sometimes for their foolishness. And other times it has to do with just offenses. Sometimes a child didn't do anything wrong. We know that as adults, we didn't do anything wrong, but someone else is offended and we've got to try to address it. So there's a lot of different wrongs that children experience in their lives. And when they do, sometimes they don't know how to handle it. And guilt is this internal emotion provided by the conscience to prompt us when there's some wrong going on, prompt us to deal with it. Now, shame is something different. Shame deals with the person. It says, guilt says you've done something wrong. Shame says you're a bad person. And as soon as we start attacking the person, or ourselves, we start shaming ourselves, or even a parent shames a child, then we've entered into a false guilt. And in this case, it's counterproductive. It hinders a child's ability to process things properly, and then children become defensive. Now, sometimes parents are doing everything right, but children still have a poor response to correction because they process their offenses with shame. And so part of our task as we work with children is to teach them how to process things differently. So this guilt and shame dimension is an important piece to even introduce this concept we're talking about, because it helps parents grasp that, oh yeah, I see my child's shaming himself, or he's resistant to correction because it points out some weakness he has and he doesn't like it when, or he's embarrassed by what's happening. All of this fits into the wrong category, and we want children to be able to learn from mistakes, because when you learn from mistakes, they become growth opportunities instead of attacks on a person's personality or character.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd like to focus on two things before we go into this discipline specifically and what, you know, how can we perhaps do that. But we look at the at one camp, and that's the camp of the children, where things, you know, the things happen, they do something wrong, and then we look at the parents' reaction. But when we talk about children responding poorly to certain correction and you know, they experience these feelings, how do you then we advise parents not to get involved or engage necessarily in that kind of emotion, and not to escalate, and to avoid any major provocation of fights or long conversation. And you mentioned just earlier the fact that we want to help our children process, process the correction in a different way. How do we do that, Dr. Scott?
Yeah, it's a good question, because I think parents can get off track pretty quickly with their child. So I think here, child's done the wrong thing. You try to correct them and the child reacts to it. Now, what the parent does in that moment is really important, because if the child starts to get angry and then the parent gets angry, or the child starts to argue and the parent argues, or the child starts to blame and the parent starts yelling at the child, then all of the, we head down a path that isn't all that productive. And so we need to be able to have a strategy that's not going to go down these things. I like to say, don't get into the boxing ring with the child. Mm-hmm. You know, if the child wants to start fighting, you don't want to be part of that. And so sometimes what we just say to a child when they're off track, and those are the words I like to use, by the way, with a child who's made a mistake or, you know, they need correction, they're off track. Mm-hmm. And so when a child's off track, I would suggest the first thing they need to do is settle down. I mean, if they're upset, they need to settle down, and that often requires some kind of a break. That's what we call it, as a break. Now, you got to realize some children, you know, sending them off to the hall or something, which is what we normally do with a break, it might cause them to be even more angry because they don't want to take a break, because they're, you know, it does more of this kind of focus for them. I think it's a skill they learn. I think there's some underlying things going on inside of a child's heart that the break helps address. Mm. But first thing it does, it helps settle the emotion. And when the emotion settles more, then the conscience can work. The conscience can't really do a lot of work when the emotion clouds the heart. But when the conscience is able to work, then the child can say, oh yeah, maybe I could have done something different. But yeah, sending a child to take a break, I think, is a good thing. In some cases, we might sit with the child in the break. We might have the child sit with us. They need to calm down, though.
Yeah.
We can't start talking about the problem when the child is raging or upset or whatever. I can't talk to you when you're this way. We refuse to get involved with a teenager who's trying to yell at us because we've tried to correct them, or because they don't like what we said about them. They're perceiving it wrong. They're not responding well. And so we're going to say, look, I can't talk to you when you're yelling at me like that. It doesn't work. So sometimes parents make the mistake of doing that. And we're going to say, let's stop that right away. And then we can enter into some more strategic ways to address some of the challenges that are being faced.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's really worth exploring different ways that kids can be in a break, just to get back to that for a second, because I know that some children can find it easier to calm down, even with a hug or just simply by having quiet time next to you, that then, you know, just say, okay, you can sit on that chair if you want, but everything stops right now. We don't continue our conversation and you're not allowed to interact with anything until you are settled down. So I think it's important, you know, I think we need to just be Sometimes maybe a bit, flexible, and to say, well, the goal is to settle down and to quiet your heart. So regardless of where you are, that can be done. Even if you're in a car, even, you can give your child that kind of space to, for him or her to think about what they did and to, to calm down. So, I know, my son, for example, he sometimes needs a hug, and he really, it really helps him to go back and say sorry easy and to realize what he has done, because he's full of shame. So that can be something, maybe that parents could look at and, see what it works for them.
Yes, I think you're right.
And, Dr. Scott, that being said, so we have not interacted. Things have not escalated, and even if they did, we have used the break to calm things down. What are our options here? We can ask for them to repeat what we were asking before, or what we have the before we started the escalation. And before the correction started, we can ask them to repeat in a positive, in a better way, what was asked for them to do. Perhaps if we ask them something to do, we want to maybe pray with them, or so they can, ask for forgiveness, but also to have the time to reflect. What would you recommend?
Okay, all of those things are good ideas to do after the fact, but let's go to another part of this, because if a child has a heart issue, that is something going on in their heart, then there's a much more effective way to address this than correction. I would suggest that children who resist correction regularly have a heart issue that really involves things like humility and the ability to view correction as a gift, and to recognize the mistakes are ways that we can learn, and all of that is, I mean, it's all, in some ways, it's really a spiritual issue that many children view. See, the spirit is this inside of us, is this place where we have our self-concept. It's how we, it's our identity. It's how we view ourselves. So when I say spiritual, I'm talking about a person's spirit, and so having a reset or doing some teaching in this area can be so productive. So let's talk about this. It seems like we have a pattern here that when you get corrected, often you respond with anger. It seems to me that you believe some things about correction that are getting you in trouble. And now you're 7, or now you're 10, or whatever. And I want to help you to develop some greater abilities to handle mistakes or times when you've done something wrong. Actually, what I want to help you do, son, is I want to help you to process guilt more effectively. When you get something wrong on a math test, maybe it's guilt, maybe it's just angry because you have to redo that problem or something. But the point is, if you can embrace correction or even learn from mistakes, good things can happen. So and then we have to go into the how. Okay, so that's really the what. The how is, let's talk about how you can think or act differently when it comes to responding to some kind of a wrong. The first thing you want to say in your mind, or you got to say to yourself, is something like, oh, looks like I need to learn something here. Or, oh, I made a mistake here, and my expectation of going out to play is probably unreasonable. I need to let that go, and I need to come back and deal with this problem a little bit more so that I can address it. So we got to change the way children think about these things first before I think they can make progress. And then we can go into a number of things you said. I like our positive conclusion, which helps children process guilt effectively. It helps them take responsibility by asking the question, what did you do wrong? It's God's solution, confession. When we do those things, then we see progress in a child's life. So yes, there's a lot of things we can do after the fact, but I'd really like to see us do some more training and teaching beforehand as well.
Yeah, that's really good. Because that really is going back to what we many times mentioned also, that the strategy and what we're trying to actually work with and achieve in the beginning. And if we do notice that, and if we do actually work with our children on specific things to improve, or that we want to see a change in, it's always good to indeed go back to that. And, but also just in general, how do we process the guilt and the anger that we feel when we are corrected, or even sometimes children, Dr. Scott, sometimes they don't really get corrected, but they are doing something and they know they're it's wrong, and then they act with anger and shame, even without correction and even without without someone to actually intervene. Is that similar or is that something else?
No, it's all fits in the same category because a child is experiencing guilt. Although in that case, the child seems to have a more sensitive conscience that either life is teaching them a lesson. Yeah. You know, they go outside and find their skateboard is left out in the rain, and now, you know, I shouldn't have done that. Yeah. So now they're just not processing their mistake well. Mm. Or it could be correction when parents steps in or someone else steps in. But the point is, there's this guilt that's triggered. Mm. And that's what we're trying to address in children. We're trying to help them process that more effectively. A mature way to respond when we're guilty is to admit we've done something wrong, to recognize it's going to be a learning experience. I know it's embarrassing. You know, I make mistakes and I'm embarrassed by them, you know, and I get that. Okay. And I can start shaming myself. I should have known better. I could start saying I'm such an idiot or something like that. And the point is, when I go that direction, I'm off track. Mm. And I need to say, okay, let's stop here because I can learn from this. I need to be more certain that I can go in a certain direction here in my life. So I'm going to work on this some more. Here's another opportunity for me to be humble. Mm. So, it's all related in this area of guilt.
Yeah, very, very useful and very makes so much sense to be able to go through these steps and to be able to one way or another influence the way our children process their emotions, or to stop them when things are escalating, to help them learn to admit, to recognize, you know, learn from their mistake and then be able to see that being humble, it's so important when we actually going through the learning process. Dr. Scott, but I would maybe like to discuss one more thing before we close this episode. And that is the type of discipline. We haven't really spoken so much about, we've spoken a bit about the reaction to the specific discipline that we give, but we haven't given so many examples of discipline. In the sense that we spoke about putting someone, a kid on a break. Are there any other types of discipline you see and you advise parents to use?
Yes, let me give you a system that I think is good. Number one, we start with words, because that's how God disciplines us. He uses his word to discipline us. So we start with words. Let's just start there. We can say to a child, look, I'm going to use words. Will that work, or do I need to go to the next step? Mm. Secondly, we go to a cycle. We call this the off-track cycle, or cycle number two, where a child goes to a break, comes back for a positive conclusion, then we practice doing the right thing. All of this based on the repentance model that we see in God's word. So this becomes our second kind of line of defense, is the cycle number two with the break, the positive conclusion, and the practicing doing the right thing. Then if that's working but not producing results, then we go to consequences. And we use consequences in a way that motivate a child to make changes. In other words, we don't just take away a privilege as a punishment. But what we do is we say, I'm taking away a privilege and you can earn it back by demonstrating whatever quality we're working on. In other words, now the consequence is a motivation, not a punishment. It's a motivation to practice doing the right thing in order to get your privilege returned to you. Those are the best kind of consequences we can use, because now the consequence is motivating a child into their parents' kind of parenting program. In other words, what they're going to do. And that's when children then are more internally motivated. If you just give a child a punishment, well, then why should I change? Or they say, whatever, I don't care. But if we use this heart-based approach, then we're going to see a much different response in the child. So we can go that direction. I think those are helpful things. And we're only on the correction side here. If a child has a stronghold in a particular area, we've got a host of other area or issues that we can use. So it's not all about correction to bring about change. Mm. We're going to use other forms of training to bring about change in a child's life so that they can make the changes necessary or develop the life skills necessary to be able to handle their challenges in life.
Yeah, I like that idea about giving the responsibility back to our children so they can have that responsibility to do something about the mistake they just made, or and to show change. Yeah, and if parents are willing to listen and try and want to learn more about the other type of trainings we are talking about in biblical parenting, there are so many more episodes in our podcast where we are taking each by on its own, and we discuss it and we share solutions or ideas and tips and practical advice on how to do that. So please feel free to go back on almost 80, 90 episodes now that we have recorded, and share it with your loved ones if you would like to, and if you find it interesting and you think you're going to be able to help someone else or benefit, someone else will benefit from it. Dr. Scott, we are coming to the end of this episode, and I want to really ask your opinion on one more thing. If we are dealing with a very, very, very challenging child who's continuously, having a very hard time taking discipline, taking different ways we're trying to do things wrong, or not, we're not able basically to get to the point, what would you advise us to do?
Okay, so if we've got a child who has a real stronghold, that's what the Bible calls these things, yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3-5 calls these strongholds. And people have strongholds in their lives. Children have strongholds in their lives. Mm. And when there's a stronghold, we're praying for a breakthrough,
yeah.
But we're going to have a multifaceted approach to dealing with this. That's why many parents come to me and they say, we've tried everything. We've taken everything out of this kid's room. He doesn't even have, he only has a mattress in his room. I'm thinking, well, you know, we probably ought to do some different things besides correction.
Yeah.
And so that's why I say, let's go into the training side. Let's go into the teaching more deeply about why a person might reject correction. Let's practice correction better. Let's look for some creative ways that children can be corrected. Any kind of natural consequence game that you play, where you learn kind of from experience, is a great game to learn about correction and how important it is to make mistakes in order to learn. So there are just so many different things we can do. But we target it, we frame it for a child, we say, this is what we're trying to help you develop in your life so that you can develop this life school of receiving correction effectively, and it will just drastically change who you are. So yeah, a multifaceted approach here, but it's not just about correction.
No. Like we said previously on many other episodes, it's a toolbox of different tools we have, and we really tailor all the coaching approach to each child. So thank you, Dr. Scott, for that. And thank you, everyone listening. Please, like I mentioned before, feel free to jump on other episodes and get some more advice and get some more wisdom from Dr. Scott. And until next time, we wish you many blessings.